So I want to give a little context to the gospel that we heard this morning because we skipped a little bit of the middle section, and sometimes context is important to understanding why Jesus says what he says when he says it. You may remember, recall the gospel of last week was the gospel in which Jesus called the 12 apostles, and he calls them by name. And so what has happened is now that he's called the 12, he's giving instructions to them as to their mission, as to what they are going to encounter, what is going to happen. And so what we're hearing now in these sections is the instructions. And they're interesting because Jesus uses this famous phrase of not being afraid. And in fact, in this one chapter of Matthew, chapter 10 to 11, we hear the words, do not be afraid. He uses them three times. So he's really trying to drive a message home to his disciples. And one of the other messages that he's really trying to drive home is that the fact that I called you for a mission is not going to be easy. And this is a good reminder for us, because the call to Christian life and the call to following God is not an easy road. And it's important that we understand that, because Christ is calling us to follow him, to leave everything behind, but with that following him is going to come many difficulties, and we can't be naive to those. And in fact, some of the difficulties that Jesus stresses in the chapters before, he says to them, as he's speaking to them about the persecutions that will come, he'll say, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear testimony before them and the Gentiles. Jesus is saying, okay, you're going to be a disciple. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get dragged in front of the government. Same thing for us to be Christians. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to be dragged for the sake? Are we willing to be dragged in front of the world for the sake of our Christian name? Are we willing to be dragged in front of the world for our belief in God? But Jesus, who is always wonderful, he doesn't stop there. So not only will we be dragged, not only will we be flogged, not only will we be delivered up to councils, he says a few verses later, and you will be hated by all for my name. Interesting. So we're going to be dragged, flogged, delivered up, and the cherry on top, with a little whipped cream, we're going to be hated. That is what it means to be a follower of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, as we proclaim ourselves as Christians, and I hope that all of us proclaim ourselves as Christians, are we willing to let that happen in our lives for the sake of Christ? And this is why Jesus in this one chapter says, do not be afraid, because there is, hearing those words, I mean, let's be honest, none of us are really sitting here thinking, oh yes, I can't wait to be dragged. I can't wait to be flogged. I can't wait to be hated. I mean, let's be honest. None of us are exactly biting at the bit for all those things to happen. We're not looking forward to it. And so Christ comes with these words and says, fear not. Because if God takes care of the sparrows, if God has the numbers of hair on our head counted, and for some of us, that's fewer than others. Some of us, it's fewer than others. But anyway, I always say, God, even though I have a few, you still have the few counted. Jesus is saying, do not fear. And it reminds me of the words as we're coming close to taking the youth to World Youth Day now in next month. We're going for that 10-day trip. And I'm filled with so much joy at this. And it reminds me, every time I think of World Youth Day, I think back to when I was younger and how those World Youth Days really impacted and changed my life. And going to see St. John Paul II, but I think we all remember this, his famous words. And I don't know about you, but I was young and naive, and I always remember him using those famous words, "Do not be afraid." And you all probably remember, or at least all of us that are old enough now to remember St. John Paul II, remember that every time he would give a homily or every time he would speak, he said, "Do not be afraid." And I remember being younger and thinking, doesn't this old guy have anything better to say? I mean, really? But being young and foolish at the time, I wasn't really giving full honor to what he was saying, because he would not just say, do not be afraid, but he would say, he would say this to the youth with such charisma and such love. He would say, do not be afraid to open wide the doors to Christ. Do not be afraid to let Christ into your life and to drastically change your life. That is what Christ is saying. Christ is saying, yes, as Christians, you may face many persecutions. You may be flogged. You may be dragged. You may be hated. But still, don't be afraid to let Christ lead your life, because Christ is leading it. My dear brothers and sisters, if we're honest with ourselves, we have so many things that we are afraid of, and so much so that we can be consumed by fear. And this is what St. Paul in the second reading in his letter to the Romans was saying, is that death entered the world. Why? Because of sin. And so what is a consequence of sin is fear. It's the fear of death. It's the fear of losing ourselves. It's the fear of not being loved, of not being accepted, of not being thought of not being successful. And now as I think about all of those times that St. John Paul II would say, don't be afraid, to the young people, he was saying exactly that, because we have so many fears, we have so many ideas of what success is. As a younger generation, we got to get a college education and earn six figures, and we've got to get the house, and we've got to get the cars, and we've got to get comfortable. And this, we can be consumed by fear. We've got to be right. We've got to be popular. And even as we get older, sometimes those fears get even more, because then we have to think, okay, so now we finally get the job, we graduate college, we've got a six-figure income, life is good, and then what's the next fear? What am I going to do when I'm 65? And so we live in the vicious circle of, what am I going to do when I retire? And so now we solve one fear and we go into another. We live from fear to fear. And this is when Christ enters and says to you and to me, Do not be afraid to open wide the doors to Christ. Do not be afraid to let God enter your life and do wonderful things with it. Do not be afraid to let God take you on an adventure, if I can say that right. No matter what age we are, whether we're young, whether we're middle-aged, whether we're semi-middle-aged, whether we're past middle-aged, whether we're older, don't be afraid to let God enter our lives. Because death has no hold over us. Because Christ sent his Son to die for us so that we do not have to be slaves of fear. So that we do not have to be consumed by our little worries, but so that we are free to live our life in Jesus Christ. As we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that we may be coming with many fears, we may be coming with many doubts. We ask the Lord, as we come to receive him, that he may enter into those fears, that he may dispel them, that he may once again give us the gift of fearlessness, so that he can work in each one of us. Let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,